chosen not to have you build a house for me. I have chosen to build a house for you. What does it say? David said, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Is that grace? So what we're telling kids in Bible school is, we want you to build a life. But we want you to build a life in the right way. We want you to follow God's blueprint for your life. It comes by acknowledging that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God, who is rich in mercy, when we were lost in sin and helpless, this is Ephesians 2, he gave us his Son. So that by grace are we saved through faith. That's not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. And we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are his workmanship. God is building us. And so it's just amazing. We've talked about sin. We've talked about grace. Now we're talking about what Jesus said. Remember when he and Peter had a conversation at Caesarea Philippi? Who do men say that I am? Jesus asked. Well, some say John, some say the prophet, some say whatever. Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him what? This is really big. This is a key word. It's got the word build in it. Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, on that rock, what you just said, I will, help me, build my church. And the gates of hell will never overpower it. Huh. So, Tower of Babel, sin. King David, grace, I'm going to build a house for you. We go the rest of the Bible, we come to Jesus in the New Testament, who's the descendant of David, who has come to build the eternal kingdom house of the Lord. Jesus looks at Peter and says, because I am the Messiah, the Son of the living God, I will, what's our word? Build. So he immediately went to Caterpillar and placed a big order, and they began to... No, he began to build people. Peter, James, and John, the Apostle Paul, Deacon Stephen, Timothy, Titus, all those people in the New Testament. And you look at Ephesians chapter 2, it says, the Lord declares to you, the Lord will make a house for you. Wait a second, I got lost. So then, you are no longer foreigners and strangers in God's house, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household. Isn't it amazing how this is coming together? The more I looked at verses in the Bible, I went, you'd have thought God had something in mind here. What a surprise. Who's the dummy who got surprised? That would be me. Our household is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. That's why we study this book. When God built his house, he put the Lord Jesus as the cornerstone. He is the foundation. He is what we build upon. And the apostles and the prophets, that's the scripture. This is what we have of what they told us. We know it's right. It fits, it lasts, it's timeless, it's relevant to our lives today. It's the blueprint on which to build. Paul said in Corinthians, you can't lay another foundation other than what Jesus said, but as a wise master builder, I helped. And I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. One guy was the surveyor. Another guy was the carpenter dude. The other one was the finisher. Joe Blow came in and painted. But it's God's house, and God had a place for all of us to be in there. We are members of God's house. Tower of Babel, the promise to David. The coming of Jesus, who says he'll build his church. He told us that he built it on the foundation of those early days recorded in the Bible. And now what do we do with it? And here's the home stretch. I owe you some time from last week. You might get it here. We do three things with it. We build lives, we build homes, and we build up one another. Let me show you in the book. We build lives. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. We are rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude. Where did you all learn about Jesus? If it wasn't at Vacation Bible School, it's most likely at Sunday school. And if it wasn't in the church house, it was probably at the knee of Grandpa or Grandma. But you came to know Christ by faith. You, in the daily ebb and flow of life and your regular Bible study and your quiet time and your prayer life and your growing in thing, God has built you as His holy and living temple. Just as you were taught, established in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with gratitude. That ought to characterize our lives right now. Any person driving by, say, I don't know what they do in there, but they sure are happy, thankful people. Matthew 7, verse 24, therefore everyone, this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount, everyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus said, and acts on them will be like a wise man who what? Built his house. Well, you can make it a literal house or you can make it your life. Are you building your life on what Jesus said, the solid rock? Or are you building your life on that shifting sand? Because what happens to the house, no matter how much effort you put into it, if you build on the wrong foundation, kaboom. We build homes. Psalm 127, 1. There's a few other verses, but this says it best. Unless the Lord, what? The house? Let me ask you, dad, mom, grandpa, grandma. Are you a home builder? Are you just giving them what you got? I'm not saying there's no value in that, but if you're only giving them what you got and you're not giving them the connection they need to walk with the Lord all their days, you see, the reality is you and I aren't here all the time. You and I aren't guaranteed that we get to be great grandparents. But the legacy we leave in their hearts is with them forever. Unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor over it in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stays alert in vain. We build people, we build homes, and we build up one another. And this is amazing how many verses talk about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8. I boast a little too much about our authority. That's the preacher. He's got authority, and he uses it, which the Lord gave. Why? Did God let the Apostle Paul go on a power trip? No, he empowered the Apostle Paul to lay the foundation, to plant the seeds, to grow the church, but it was for the purpose of building others up, not Paul walking around going, aren't I great apostle? Romans chapter 15, verse 12. This is not just for the preacher. Now this is for everybody. Each one of us is to please his neighbor for his good. To do what? To build him up. Now, you want to know why coffee shops are so big in our world today? Because that is a public place where people can come in and sit down over a cup of coffee at a table away from anybody's preferential turf, and they can look at one another and go, how's it going? You know why they're so popular? They're always full? I get so upset when there's a bunch of ladies sitting in the group of chairs that I want to sit with a bunch of guys in. What is up with that? It's because we need people in our lives who know what we're going through, and they care about it, and they use their gifts and their abilities to build us up. I can't tell you what it means when somebody just stops in and says, hey, no agenda, how you doing? I had a friend last night. We met at the coffee shop a couple times. He'd been gone on a trip. Saturday night, bing goes the phone. I'm home. When can we get together? Why? Because we build each other up. 1 Corinthians 10:23. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Okay, we said it out of King James, all things are permissible, but not all things are profitable. You don't always get something out of what you do. You can use your time in a way that's not profitable. It just doesn't make much sense. But that was a while back we talked about it. But read the second part of the verse. Everything is permissible, but not everything does what? Look, if we go to all this trouble and we all take vacation, we all invest in these people, and we're not deliberate about building them up, laying the foundation of Jesus in their life and helping them grow in Christ, why are we doing it? It just doesn't make sense. Not everything builds up. Yeah, you can do it, but go all the way. Get it across the finish line. Accomplish the goal and the purpose. It's to build one another up. 1 Thessalonians 5. Therefore, encourage one another and do what? Say it. Build each other up as you are already doing. And I appreciate Paul. You know, we always look at what we got going on and we want a little more. We're just wired that way, aren't we? Paul says, look, I know you're already doing this. I know you're already encouraging this. And Paul just kind of wrote them a letter that had to spank them about some goofy ideas they had about the second coming, okay? But he says, look, I give you credit for what you're doing, but build each other up. What you're doing, do more of. And if there was a mission statement for us about our Bible school, you guys have always done an incredible Bible school. But let's do a little more. Let's give it that extra shot. Let's give it that little extra. Why? Because there's some young boy or girl coming into these walls who needs encouragement, who needs hope, who needs to be edified, who needs to be encouraged. Told they're doing all right, but they can do more too. Who needs to hear that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you want to build a life that honors him, you invite Jesus into your heart. Last but not least, Acts 20, verse 32. Paul is saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders here. And this is what he says to them. And now I commit you to God and to what? The word of his grace. Remember the Tower of Babel? Remember grace to David through Jesus to us all to build our lives, to build our homes, and to build up one another. I commit you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to what? Say it. Build you up and give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. Now, there's some other references about build, but I want to close with this. There's a story of we'll call him a Missouri farmer up in north central Missouri, up in corn country. And he had four boys, and, he had some money over time. He kept buying tractors, but his neighbors all got mad at him because he kept buying the lots of land next to him. And finally, he goes to the coffee shop one day and, farmer neighbor says to him, hey, Joe, how come you're buying up all the land? Don't you have enough corn to raise? And that farmer looked at him and said, hey, I'm not raising corn. I'm raising sons. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not entertaining children. We are not scooping up resources to have a big blowout. We are raising up the next generation of this church and the church. And nothing's more important than that. If we got to go buy a cornfield, let's do it. If we got to spend extra money at Walmart's, let's do it. If we have to sacrifice our beauty sleep in the morning, let me know. I'll have coffee available. I call it Baptist gasoline, you know. The whole place runs on it. Whatever it takes to reach one of these little ones is worth the sacrifice. Lord Jesus, I'm so thankful for the preparation and the activity and the readiness that is already here. Lord, I'm grateful for publicity, for bus drivers, for cookies, for pounds of sugar, for the prayer team that's been behind this, for Gail and Monica's leadership, for the staff support. I'm just grateful that there is a united effort to grow what matters most, to tell the world that Jesus came. He is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. When we put our faith and trust in Him based on the reliability of the Word of God, it builds lives. It builds homes today and tomorrow. And it builds us up as we minister to one another in Jesus' name. God, I pray our church would be strengthened by this. Lord, I pray that we accomplish the main mission, but I pray that there'd be second and third order of effects that resound in our church life and in our community and in the lives of boys and girls all year and on into the unforeseen future, because, Lord, only You know what we're facing. Thank You again for the preparation, and we look forward with anticipation for a great week of Bible school. No matter what happens, we thank You. In Jesus' name we pray together. Everybody said as we close, amen. Amen. Gary, come, let's sing that last verse.
We're not closed yet.
Oh, okay, well,
sorry.
I had my 10 minutes back, Gail. Come on.
But I only got one thing.
Uh-huh.
You need to see Randy. Anybody who can help, Randy's got a list of tables and chairs that we need to move.
Yes.